Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, July the 23rd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. A GOP congressman and former FBI agent tells NPR he believes Trump was compromised by Putin. Also on the Monday rundown, a report on how trade wars could be risky business for the whiskey business, and the wealthiest Americans get richer as the wage gap widens. Topping our news, a GOP congressman and former FBI agent told NPR he thinks President Trump was manipulated by Russian President Vladimir Putin. Brian Fitzpatrick told NPR's All Things Considered he drew that conclusion after the two leaders appeared in Helsinki. He said, quote, "The president was manipulated by Vladimir Putin. Putin is a master manipulator." Fitzpatrick sits on the House Committees on Foreign Affairs and Homeland Security in his previous role as an FBI agent. NPR says he was assigned to the Ukraine and worked on counterintelligence, collecting Russian propaganda reports. Whiskey trade groups from around the world will converge on the birthplace of bourbon this week to discuss their concerns about a possible global trade war being stoked by the Trump administration. Here's Mary Sherman.
Tariffs have already been imposed on bourbon in some overseas markets, and according to president of the Kentucky Distillers Association, Eric Gregory, they're affecting short-term sales. He warns there is real potential for long-term damage and says the whiskey industry needs to have a unified voice.
You know, there are times when you kind of need to get the family together and talk about issues, and this is one of those times. To sit down and have an open discussion about what's going on and what we can do to work together to promote and preserve free and fair trade.
Whiskey producers from Canada, Europe, and Japan, as well as groups representing Irish whiskey and Scotch whiskey, will meet with the Kentucky Distillers Association this Wednesday and Thursday in Louisville. Gregory says it's a first-of-its-kind gathering for these organizations.
There are estimates that 95% of the world's supply of bourbon comes from the state of Kentucky. Only 18 states and territories have requested on-site risk and vulnerability assessments of their voting systems. Rosbaum reports that's despite the midterm election approaching and repeated warnings those systems could be compromised.
After hearing that, South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds, who serves on the Senate Armed Services Committee's Cybersecurity Subcommittee, became a co-sponsor of the Secure Elections Act to provide more money to states to improve safeguards. But even if it passes, the funding most likely won't reach states in time for the midterms. Heather Smith with the ACLU of South Dakota says 92 million Americans eligible to vote did not do so in 2016, and trust in the system is often cited as a reason.
Our system of democracy is contingent on people being able to vote and for them feeling like their vote actually does count and does get counted.
According to the Department of Homeland Security, only 13 states said they intended to use the federal dollars appropriated back in March to buy new voting machines.
A 2018 report lists South Dakota as one of four states where people say they don't register to vote because they don't know where or how and they miss deadlines. Now we turn to Dan Hyman. He reports that clean water groups say getting a single general permit to cover work at hundreds of separate sites by gas pipeline companies is an abuse of the permitting process.
A coalition of six citizen and conservation groups is asking federal courts to stop the Atlantic Coast Pipeline from using one nationwide permit for its work at all water crossings. The issue has already stalled some work on the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Cindy Rank with the West Virginia Highlands Conservancy says this type of general permit is intended for small projects, like building a single road over a single creek.
However, with the giant pipelines, we're crossing hundreds and hundreds of these small headwater streams with a nationwide permit without looking at the overall impact on watersheds.
The pipeline companies argue it would be too much red tape to get separate permits for each water crossing. Rank says mountaintop removal mines did the same thing until stopped by the courts. She says they claimed a single permit allowed for disposal of excess rock in hundreds of valley fills.
The Mountain Valley Pipeline had argued that the national permit allowed it to cross under three rivers. Late last month, the federal court decided the general permit does not cover the river crossings. And finally, Catherine Davis Young tells us the gap between the richest and poorest Americans continues to widen. That's according to a new report from the Economic Policy Institute.
It analyzes tax data going back to 1917 and shows that since the 1970s, the majority of Americans have taken home an ever smaller portion of the nation's overall wealth. The richest 1% of Americans now make, on average, 26 times what the other 99% of people in the country earn annually, says Mark Price, one of the report's authors.
When the incomes are growing much faster at the top, that means the total pot of income available in society is concentrating in a smaller and smaller group of people's hands.
Price says a major factor contributing to the trend is the minimum wage, which is shrinking. The federal minimum wage hasn't been raised since 2009, and adjusted for inflation, it's now worth less than it was in the 1960s. Price notes the U.S. economy is looking better by some measures, such as a lower unemployment rate in recent years.
The report says declining union enrollment and policies that weaken workers' bargaining rights are also contributing to inequality. Price says he expects these trends to continue in the near future. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member-listener-supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.